Open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 4. We want to just read one verse this morning, verse number 13. And the title of the message is They Had Been with Jesus. So Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says, Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I ask thy blessing upon the message this morning. What a wonderful passage of Scripture that testifies of the influence that the disciples had because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and our consistent walk with Him would make us just as influential and effective in the world. And Lord, might we make a difference, not for our sake, but might we make a difference for Jesus' sake. And might we avail ourselves to Thee, that You would use us to be an instrument of praise to Thy name. So bless the message as it goes forth. Use it, I pray. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have emphasized a number of things in this chapter already in previous messages. We noticed how there in verse number 12, there's no way to be saved apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You cannot take Jesus Christ out of Christianity and still have Christianity. We've also talked about the infilling of the Holy Ghost, as that's mentioned a couple of times in this chapter, both in verse number 8 and in verse number 31. In verse number 8 it says, Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then in verse number 31 it says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. And we saw that that's the one element that's present each time someone is filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not that they speak in tongues. That only happens on a rarity. But yet even when they spoke in unlearned languages or tongues, they spoke boldly in those languages of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then last week we looked at when it's okay to disobey. And that's highlighted for us in verse number 19, where it says, But Peter and John answered and said to them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. You know, overall, Christians ought to be people who want to live quiet and peaceable lives. We ought not to riot and protest and cause chaos and disorder. We should strive to be honorable, loyal citizens. But there are times, and unfortunately, is how we should say it, unfortunately there are times when we do have to disobey authorities, whether they be parental, spousal, or political. And it's when those authorities ask us to do something that contradicts the Word of God, or when they won't allow us to do something that the Word of God commands us to do. There is a higher authority in our lives than the ones that we have on earth, and that authority is God. And our loyalty ought to be first of all to Him. But here this morning, I just really want to focus on one verse, and that's verse number 13, because I think it is another significant passage in this wonderful chapter. And I said, I think maybe last week or the week before, there's a number of passages that I would like to just, you know, focus on for one message, because the truth contained in the passage is so impactful and so significant. And so I think maybe tonight and maybe even into next week, we'll still be in this chapter looking at some of these emphatic passages found in Acts chapter number 4. And so again, in verse number 13 here, it says that when they saw, talking about the religious rulers of that day, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They were surprised. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know, I gave this title to the message, "They Had Been With Jesus," early on in preparing for this message. But in meditating upon the message and my outline, I realized that you could just as easily entitle the message, "Signs That You've Been With Jesus." And there's really three or maybe four things that I want to focus on in this message. Those include being with Jesus, which makes one knowledgeable, which makes one confident, which makes one bold, and then ultimately which makes one effective in the ministry. So let's look at each one of those. The disciples had been with Jesus. And they were with Jesus during his earthly ministry. So they were with Jesus for the span of approximately three years. They walked with him. They witnessed his miracles. They listened to his teachings. And I believe to the best of their ability, they sought to incorporate or to put into practice the things that Jesus Christ taught. They were influenced greatly in the span of 3 years. Having been with Jesus made these men knowledgeable. And that's the first point I want to make. It imparted unto them knowledge. And yet, it says in our text that these men, Peter and John, were unlearned and ignorant men. Now, when you look at the exhaustive list of the disciples, I suspect that there were some of those men who were educated. You know, you think of one who was a publican, most certainly he was educated in the area of finances. And I get the impression that some of the others were probably educated men. But for the most part, and specifically having to do with Peter and John, they were unlearned men. And I don't believe that this is intended to be an insult. Some people are unlearned. That doesn't mean they're stupid. You know, in generations before ours, there were men who really didn't have an education past the eighth grade. I know with my grandparents and my wife's grandparents, it wasn't uncommon for people in those generations, you know, to drop out of school after the eighth grade, or most certainly not seek any additional education beyond the 12th grade. And in many cases, it was because those men had to go to work. They had to get a job. And the jobs that were available were not jobs that required degrees from higher places or higher education or higher educational institutions. And you know, if you worked at the factory that produced automobiles or steel or glass or what have you, you didn't need a degree to do those things. You just needed to know how to put this bolt in there. And I know I'm oversimplifying it. Some were farmers. And they learned all they need to know from dad and grandpa or uncles. And so it's not necessarily an insult to say that they were unlearned or that they were ignorant. It just simply meant that they lacked knowledge. They lacked certain knowledge. It may very well have been that these men, you know, couldn't read at a higher or as a high a level as maybe the scribes and the Pharisees. In my mind, obviously they could read and write. Someone might suspect that they couldn't do those things. And it might be the case, but God did use them to pen the scriptures, but it could very well have been the scribe that was penning them. So maybe it is a reference to a lack of reading ability, a lack of writing ability, but I suspect that maybe that's not necessarily the case. But it could explain why scribes were used by some of the apostles in writing the epistles. But these men just lacked knowledge of educated, they lacked the knowledge that educated men possessed. They were tradesmen. They were not scholars. Yet, having been with Jesus for 3 years, made them a lot wiser than some people who had formal educations. And by the way, this is no license on our part to stay ignorant. You know, it's not a badge of pride that we can put on our chest that we're, you know, unlearned and ignorant fishermen. I don't think that the Bible intends, you know, to reflect poorly upon education itself. We do live in a society today where education is needed for most employment opportunities. You know, it's true that some young men can get engaged in a trade or start their own business, and of course I would encourage many young men to do that very thing while they're at home and have limited responsibilities and limited financial obligations to start their own business and make an income that way. I think it's to be preferred than having to work for corporations or other places. You know, you look at the spiritual climate of America, you know, prior to this last election. I mean, you got fired many times, and you still would get fired many times for holding biblical beliefs and expressing them publicly. Well, if you work for yourself, you don't so much have to worry about that, other than people trying to close down your business. But again, for the most part, people who are going to seek employment opportunities in this country need an education. And I'm just saying these things as a matter of qualification. There was somebody I was talking to on Friday, and he said that his son worked at one of the car manufacturers and said he was getting laid off, though, shortly, because the job that he performs is going to be done, you know, electronically, basically by robots or an electronic process. And so his son is actually going to use this as an opportunity to go to school to learn how to work on the robotics that are being used at the car manufacturers. He already has a history with these companies, so if he gains the additional skill set that's needed to work on the robots, then he's, you know, very likely to be able to secure employment doing that. So you can see over time, especially in a sophisticated society, sometimes the job market gets more sophisticated as well, and so people need to have an education. Sometimes. Not all the time. So this isn't a slight at education. Times certainly were much different here in these days. These men were not among the educated. They were among the working class. And it wasn't expected that they would have knowledge of philosophical matters or of matters of religion and theology. It would be assumed that these men knew very little other than how to catch fish. But these men clearly were seen by the religious rulers as being individuals who had knowledge beyond their education. Reminds me of what David said in Psalm 119 in verses 99 and 100. Let me read those passages to you. It says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. David testified, and again, this wasn't a slight against his teachers. He was probably thankful for the things his teachers had taught him. But he says, in many respects, he's wiser than they are. And you know why? Because he spent time meditating in the Word of God. You know, the disciples, they spent time with Jesus. And you know what it did? It imparted unto them knowledge. And you know what will happen to you if you spend time with Jesus? If you spend time in His Word, learning of Him, it will make you wiser. Wiser than many of the educated people in this world. You'll be wise beyond your years. You'll be knowledgeable beyond your education because you understand this book. I think it should be noted that God, more often than not, doesn't call the glamorous of the world, but He calls the baser of the world. And this is what it's explained to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 says, For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. And he said, the things that have been accomplished through my preaching ministry are not the result of my ability to articulate the truths of the Word of God. If that were the case, then man would receive the glory for what was accomplished, and not God. This is true for individuals as well as for preachers. But what we need is not greater education, though I'm not against education. What we need is not greater oratory abilities, but I'm not against somebody improving their oratory abilities. But what we need is people who walk with Jesus, who learn of Jesus, who spend time consistently meditating in His Word. It says later on in this chapter, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. I've always outlined this in my own little way. God doesn't normally call the smart, the strong, and the sophisticated. That's not what He does. You know, men would call people like King Saul. Oh, we want him to be our king. He's head and shoulders above the rest. Look at how tall, dark, and handsome he is. But God called a short little rooty guy named David, because he was after his own heart. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And you know what was taking place here in the book of Acts? The wise were being confused. They were being confounded because they were wondering how such unlearned and ignorant men could have such influence over the people. They didn't understand it. Kind of sheds some light as to what's going on politically in our country today, doesn't it? Because the elitists, the smart people, they just can't understand it. Because they have all this knowledge in their brain about information that's not true, and yet some people come along and speak from a practical perspective that makes a whole lot more sense than anything the elitists are saying. So again, I'm not saying to anybody to stay ignorant. On the contrary, I'm saying we need to walk with Jesus. We need to study His Word so that we too would be perceived like the disciples were perceived. That we have knowledge beyond our education and wisdom beyond our years, because our nose is in this book, the Word of God. Because walking with Jesus produces knowledge. Practical knowledge. But in turn, this knowledge will produce confidence. Notice back in verse number 10, notice how Simon Peter is speaking. He says, "Be it known unto you all." I'm sure this is in part why the religious rulers just marveled, like, listen to this guy. He's a fisherman. And look at the way he's talking. I mean, he's talking with such confidence. He says, "Be it known unto you all and to all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand before thee whole, before you whole." I mean, here, a lot of people were trying to figure out, how in the world is this man walking? I mean, that's what the religious crowd was doing. You recall, you know, the way that they quizzed the blind man there in John chapter 9? I mean, they just kept bringing him back and bringing him back and bringing his parents. And how in the world can this man, this must not be that blind man. He could not have been born blind. Get his parents in here. And no matter what was said, no matter what was testified, they could not figure out how this blind man was made whole. And they couldn't figure out how this lame man was made to walk again. But Simon Peter knew. There was no timidness in his voice. He was confident. He says, "I'm here to tell you how this lame man got up and walked through the name and the power of Jesus Christ." You see, having been with Jesus made him confident. You see, being timid is the direct result of being uncertain. If you are unsure about something, you just can't act or speak with any level of confidence. What if you are trying to discern for yourself what the will of God is for your life? And you just don't know. I just don't know what God wants me to do with my life. You know what you're likely to accomplish? Nothing. Because you're unsure and you just don't know. But you know, then you find other people who say, "I know exactly what God wants me to do for my life." People like Brother Bocamp says, "God wants us to be Romania. So you know what? We prepare. We quit our secular jobs. We go on the road. We get support. We're leaving in October." There's confidence. He says, "I know what God wants me to do, and so I set my mind to do it." You know, some people are unsure about which Bible to use. They just don't know what, I don't know what the truth is. And so somebody asks them and says, I don't know what, maybe you should ask someone, because they don't know. They're not confident. They have no knowledge of the matter. And so they can't dogmatically and confidently say one way or the other. How about a couple comes into a preacher, or maybe just comes to you as a layman and says, you know what, we are having problems with our marriage and we don't know what to do. We think we're going to file for divorce. And we wanted your opinion. Well, some counselors, some individuals would say, well, tell me about your situation. I don't know. I'm not sure what you should do. If you know what God's Word says about the matter, you know that they shouldn't file for divorce. And that probably should be about the first thing out of your mouth. I don't think you should file for a divorce. Why don't we work on the problem? If you lack confidence in any area of your life, you're going to be a little timid. You're going to approach matters with uncertainty because you don't know what the truth is. But boy, when you've been with Jesus, and He imparts unto you knowledge, you go from being timid to being confident. And these disciples, they spoke like they were confident. Now I realize there are some people who would be perceived as confident, but it's not really because they possess a great deal of knowledge. It's really because they're ignorant. They don't know there's some things that they don't know. And I know that that's, you know, just as likely to happen. But I tell you, when you have been with Jesus and He has imparted unto you knowledge, you will be confident. The Apostle Paul, he said in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. He says, I know whom I believe. He was confident that Jesus was Savior, was the Messiah. Paul also, he said this in the book of Philippians and in chapter number 3. And as I read this, I would just ask you to think in your mind, what would cause someone to do this? He says in verse number 8, this is Philippians 3, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. What would make someone make such statements? What would cause someone to give up everything that they had in life, their prestige, their position, their wealth? What would make them give that up? Well, a confidence in the person of Jesus Christ. You can't tell me that Paul wasn't sure of who Jesus Christ was. He most certainly was. So what happened is the disciples were with Jesus. They gained knowledge, which gave them confidence. And that exhibited itself in their boldness. It says again in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they saw their boldness. These men lifted up their voice, or their voices, with confidence. They knew what they believed. And it was obvious by how they testified of it. As I just read verse number 10, this man was made to walk again by the power of Jesus Christ. And it's this Jesus Christ that can save whosoever will come unto Him. These men were bold in their proclamations. And you know, that's what you find throughout the Scriptures. When God is with someone and has given them knowledge concerning Himself and concerning His Word, they have a great deal of confidence, and it causes them to act boldly. I mean, think about Joshua and Caleb. They came back with the other 10 spies. They all witnessed the same thing there in the land of Canaan. Walled cities with huge armies, giants amongst them. And it caused the other 10 spies to tremble. But Joshua and Caleb were confident, and they said, "Let's go take the land." How can they speak with such confidence and such boldness? Because they had the knowledge of God's revealed word that He had given them that land. He had promised them that land, and all they had to do was go possess it. And they believed God. And they knew what God had said. And that's why they can speak and act with such boldness. How could young David, though he being half the size, maybe a third the size of the giant Goliath, how could he come up to King Saul and say, "Let me fight him"? How can he do that with such confidence and such boldness? Was it the naivety of a child? No, it's because his confidence was with God. As he said to Goliath himself, "You come to me with sword and spear, sword and shield. I come to you in the name of God." And he was confident that God would give him the victory. Think about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They refused to obey King Nebuchadnezzar. They weren't going to bow down to the golden statue, because they knew what God said on the matter. They knew what He said. And they weren't going to bow down. And here they were facing potential death. But boy, they were confident. And they were bold. And they were saying, "King Nebuchadnezzar, it doesn't matter what's going to happen to us. You can throw us in the fiery furnace, but we are not bowing down." They were bold because they knew what the Word of God said. This is what it says in 1 Peter 4:19. "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." You know what? Those three men knew they served a faithful Creator. And they could be bold and they could be certain in the face of death. Why? Because they knew what God had promised them. God doesn't always promise protection in this life, but they knew that their faithful Creator would be faithful to them in the next life. So these disciples, they had knowledge as a result of being with Jesus, which created in them confidence. And this confidence was expressed in their bold preaching and testifying of Jesus, which, by the way, made them effective. It says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness," there in verse number 33. With great power. You know, I kept thinking about men in the Bible who walked with the Lord, much like John and Simon Peter. Of course, when you think on that subject, you think of Enoch, the first individual who is said of in the Scriptures that he walked with God. He walked with God, and what happened to him? He, of course, we realize from the book of Jude, he preached boldly, but he was translated, went straight into heaven. Straight to heaven. You know, if you walk with God, you're going to end up in heaven. I don't know if that's the lesson to be learned by that, but... Then there's Noah. The Bible also says that he walked with God. And you know what? As a result of walking with God, he had a level of confidence and boldness that few have ever obtained. I mean, he stood... You know, you and I, we stand against the world. He stood against the whole world. The whole world. There was nobody on his side. Him and his family. That was it. And God told him to do something that many people considered ridiculous. Build a giant boat. But he did. And his confidence and his boldness, I believe, were the direct results of walking with God. Abraham is said to have walked before the Lord in Genesis 17:1 and Genesis 48:15. And as a result of that, Abraham, it says, he went out not knowing whither he went. When God told him to leave the Ur of the Chaldees and to go to a land that he would show him, he just left. He just went. What a bold act of faith. And the reason he was able to take such a bold act of faith is because he had walked with God. Moses, in a sense, walked with God. He saw him face to face. The Bible says, as a friend speaketh to a friend, Moses saw God face to face. He witnessed God unlike any other. And as a result, he boldly led 2 million people out of Egypt and throughout the wilderness for 40 years on top of that. David also is one who often speaks of walking before God in the book of Psalms, and God took him from the prairie to watching over the sheep to the palace where he ruled over a great nation. These men all walked with God. And it created in them knowledge and confidence and boldness. And maybe Christianity today is infected with timidness and not conviction because people don't consistently walk with God. And that's what we need to do. Walk with God. Not create some level of boldness from the flesh, but allow it to pour out as a result of our walking with God. We need to walk with the Lord. We need to be like His disciples and spend some time listening to what He says and putting it into practice in our lives. And folks, if we'll do this, we'll gain knowledge. People will take note of us that though we be ignorant or like unlearned and ignorant men, they'll take notice that we've been with Jesus. When they witness the confidence that we have and the boldness with which we speak. And like the apostles, we'll also become effective in our ministry. You see, all these things are signs that you've walked with Jesus. Knowledge, confidence, boldness. Do you have those things? Do you possess those things in your life? If not, maybe it's time to walk with Jesus. To spend some time with Him and in His Word, and let Him produce these things in us that we might be effective in our ministry for Him as well. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the lessons that we can learn from it. And Lord, as we look at this historical account concerning the disciples, we see that others, though they perceived John and Peter to be unlearned and ignorant men, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh Lord, might we have the same thing said of us. May people look at our words and our actions and take note that we too have been with Jesus. Lord, help us to have a desire to walk with Thee. And Lord, as we walk with Thee and learn of Thee, give us confidence and boldness that can only come from the Holy Ghost and the knowledge of Thy Word. Lord, give us confidence and boldness in this local church that we might be effective in our service for Thee. Lord, help us through our testimonies and through our witnesses to see other people saved. Lord, one of the consistent things that we see throughout the book of Acts is people being saved, people being born again. And Lord, that's what we desire to see here at Shepherdsville Baptist Church. And Lord, if we're not walking with Thee as we ought, chasten us here this morning and help us to begin to walk as we should and to live our lives as we should, that we would not be a hindrance to the work of Christ or a hindrance to the work of this ministry. So Lord, just take the things that were said this morning, use them for Thy glory and use them for the benefit of Thy people. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me if you would, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I'll have Jamie begin to play a song of invitation. And I just want to encourage you, if you don't have the level of confidence and boldness in the Lord that you should, why don't you ask Him for that this morning?